was to create distraction. They wanted to obstruct unity and prevent the search for identity in the World Cup platform. This was the best opportunity for the Iranians to feel won, and the adversaries went towards distraction, giving them damning labels and throwing off the concentration of the national team.
Meanwhile, the enemy's repeated attempts through hostile media to create strikes on Iran with the intention of disrupting the economy hasn't really worked. Rioters have even resorted to threats on truckers, merchants and other citizens to join the strike, but workers are not yet joining in large numbers or staging mass strikes to put significant economic pressure on Islamic Republic authorities. On social media, the hashtag General Strikes has trended since the beginning of the protests. However, these attempts were unsuccessful. None were large enough to affect the production of goods or the provision of services. The bazaar strikes largely consisted of shop owners boarding up their windows to prevent property damage by vandals. The oil strikes were limited to small pockets of contract workers, mostly during lunch or shift breaks. The teacher strike was limited to only a few classrooms outside of the capital. The much-anticipated general strike has yet to materialize.
There seems to have been a variety of suggestions as to what changes can be considered. We are hearing words from the head of the parliament and other officials about modernization of the government. What's important is that there is a consensus about the need to reform ways of interacting with society. Creating public satisfaction is a principle that has been accepted. This is not reflecting deep changes. It can be about developing social agenda in some fields. Perhaps layers of the society haven't been heard of the way it should have. There should be plans about utilizing our youth in more productive ways. In general, there is an ongoing consideration by politicians in redesigning civil management as well as the planning of the structural changes to the establishment.
Local politicians are prepared for the West-backed regime change operation against Islamic Republic of Iran to continue. Socio-political experts believe that this is the most sophisticated attempt in the four decades against the country. But at this point, there is but one certainty. The attempt is going to fail.
The issue of hijab is separate from the police force. Hijab is an issue that's been seen in our constitution. Dress code exists in every culture around the globe. The hijab that exists in Islamic Republic law is very broad and can be inclusive of a variety of clothes and coverings. But the second part of the issue you are bringing up is a tactical measure to protect the Islamic covering. Morality police or public security could be abandoned. We could have an alternative method to advance our ultimate goals. We have a goal and a method. The goal is to have a decent dress code and the rule of Islamic laws. As far as the tactic is concerned, we also believe that perhaps morality police wasn't the best way. The Islamic Republic could review its ways in finding appropriate tools. This door is open to it.
That's all for today. Thanks from the whole team. Do tune in again at the same times next week and each week after. Bye for now.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
An increasing number of German people will forego the tradition due to soaring prices. According to reports, one in four Germans won't buy Christmas gifts this year. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. The website of RT noted almost a quarter of Germans won't buy Christmas presents this year because of high inflation. Bild newspaper reported recently, citing a survey by the Institute for New Social Answers, INSA. According to the report, 23% of respondents said they will not buy Christmas presents at all, while 22% said they will have to use their savings to buy gifts. A further 3% said they may be forced to incur debts to buy presents. Overall, less than half of those surveyed said they will be able to fit Christmas purchases into their budget. The report did not provide data on the number of participants in the survey. Bild also noted that the cost of Christmas gifts in Germany this year has grown by around 56% compared to 2021, according to price comparison platform Idealo, which analyzed prices of more than 120 popular Christmas presents. Germany's annual inflation rate jumped to 10.4% in October, hitting a new historic high, according to data from the Federal Statistical Office. While the agency has not published data for November yet, it expects the inflation rate to have remained above 10%. The prices are costly, driven by rising energy costs, which surged following the drop in gas supplies from Russia amid Ukraine-related Western sanctions on the country. Last month, INSA conducted another survey which found that half of Germans think Berlin is failing to combat the energy crisis, while nearly 30% say they will not be able to pay for energy in the coming month. Newspaper Bild reported a Christmas decoration manufacturer in the German state of Saxony may close down due to sanctions on Russian timber. The company in question specializes in Shivogen, traditional carved wooden arches with Christmas themes used as candle holders. According to the report, the company, which has produced these decorations for 30 years, has seen its warehouse stocks dwindle ever since the EU ban on Russian timber and wood products came into force earlier this year. The company's owner, Katia Tallin, told the news outlet that while her company usually makes the decorations all year round, work is now carried out only by special order and that she had to raise prices due to the lack of supplies. Since the summer, we stopped receiving Russian birch plywood, whose market share prior to sanctions was 93%. Like all our colleagues, we have been trying to figure out for months how we can replace Russian wood, but it is pointless, Tallin stated, noting that the quality of alternatives to Russian raw materials is unsuitable. Brussels sanctioned Russian timber on April 9, with a transition period lasting until July for companies whose import contracts were signed before that date. Restrictions targeted timber and wood products, charcoal, wood pulp, cardboard, as well as wooden furniture and furniture parts. However, according to Russian forest regulator Roslyn Ford, the company has been able to continue selling timber products to the EU through third countries. Tasnim News Agency also wrote in this regard, nearly a quarter of Germans say they will not purchase Christmas gifts this year due to rampant inflation, according to a representative poll conducted by the Institute for New Social Answers. The survey commissioned by German newspaper Bild revealed that 23% of respondents will not buy any Christmas presents at all, while less than half of those sampled indicated that they will be able to fit purchases for the festive season in their regular income, Sputnik reported. A further 22% said they will fall back on their savings, with 3% saying they may even incur debts. According to the newspaper, German price comparison platform analyzed prices for over 120 popular Christmas gifts and compared them with the last year's prices. The findings revealed that 56% of Christmas presents are now more expensive than in 2021. There was no information concerning the time frame and a scale of the poll.
Say to America is be true to what you said on paper.
We won't back down.
Stop the witch hunt.
Turn here now.
We will resist.
I can't breathe. Help me. Please.
We the people.
Now, with the Republicans taking over the House, U.S. President Joe Biden should anticipate punches thrown at his administration very soon. The House Judiciary Committee is expected to probe Biden's family, administration, the FBI, and the Department of Justice. Republicans on the committee had issued a more than 1,000-page report and stated that the FBI is rotten at its core. The committee had promised to investigate the president's son, Hunter Biden, if they were to win midterm elections. Now the Republicans have won over the House, and Nancy Pelosi has stepped down as House Speaker. Joe Biden is bracing himself for controversial investigations aimed at his family and administration.
Rotten at its core.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We the People. I'm your host, Daniel Arya. In this episode, we'll discuss the aftermath of the midterm elections and the Republicans winning over the House, what the new House Judiciary Committee will do in light of a thousands-page report on investigating wrongdoings committed by the president's son, Hunter Biden, the FBI, and Department of Justice. We'll also explore the committee's accusations on Facebook and other big tech on conspiring with the FBI and curbing free speech. As usual, we're pleased to have our two guests on our show, Vladimir Goldstein, associate professor at Brown University, and Daniel Lazar, an author and journalist, joining us out of New York. Stay tuned.
Ohio Representative Jim Jordan, who is expected to become the House Judiciary Committee's chairman, sent a letter to U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland and another to FBI Director Christopher Wray, asking for documents related to soon-to-be-conducted investigations. Some Republicans hoped that subpoenas and investigations would lead to the impeachment of the Attorney General, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, and even U.S. President Joe Biden. Representative Kevin McCarthy, who is likely to become House Speaker, has said, however, that impeachment should not be used as a political weapon, but also reiterated that this does not mean if something rises to the occasion, it would not be used at any other time.
Today we're going to provide you with something that you all aren't used to with respect to congressional investigations, and that's evidence. Committee Republicans have spoken with multiple whistleblowers from numerous schemes involving the Biden family, reviewed Hunter Biden's laptop, and received documents of previously unknown transactions. What we found are business plans aimed at targets around the world based on influence peddling, including with people closely tied to foreign governments like China and Russia. We also found plans based in the United States where the Biden family swindled investors of hundreds of thousands of dollars, all with Joe Biden's participation and knowledge.
And now, before winning the elections, the House Judiciary Committee Republicans released a 1,000-page report serving as a roadmap for investigations into the FBI and Justice Department. Now, that report contains whistleblower accusations that the FBI has been politically influenced under the Biden administration. The whistleblowers in this report describe the FBI, directed by Christopher Wray, as being rotted at its core, maintaining a systemic culture of unaccountability and full of rampant corruption, manipulation, and abuse. So what do you make of this 1,050-page report, sir?
Well, I think this report, I mean, of course, it's a partisan report, so it reflects the interest of Republican Party. And I think it's more than it's more or less articulates their agenda, what they interested to do. We cannot view this report as some kind of a final conclusion, because there is, like, you know, they give the directions into which they want to go, what they want to explore. They realize that, you know, FBI is being politicized. They realize that it's being used to target conservative people. They realize that FBI is frequently meddles into social media to censor particular kinds of speech, conservatives in particular. They realize that FBI is interferes and tries to squash the story and silence the story about Hunter Biden. So these are the directions which they want to investigation to go on. For the time being, what I saw from the report is just some kind of allegations. It's not, they don't provide a result of an investigation. They don't provide the result of, you know, conclusions. This is a direction which they want to investigate. And I think now, with the Congress in Republican, sort of under Republican majority, they can pursue this investigation.
And now that the Republicans have taken over the House, Republican Representative Jim Jordan from Ohio is likely to become chairman of the Judiciary Committee. Now, this committee oversees issues related to the legal system, which includes overseeing the Departments of Homeland Security and Justice. The congressman has accused the FBI and the Department of Justice leadership of operating under political bias. So what are some of the probable future investigations we may see in Congress?
Okay, well, what's happening is that the Republicans have just taken control of the representatives. They have a very slim majority, and they are going to hold hearings to Don Hunter and his business activities. They are going to probe the FBI and CIA as to whether they try to suppress evidence relating to Hunter Biden's business activities. They're also going to probably try to conduct an audit of U.S. arms appropriations for the Ukraine. So essentially, things are really getting very hot on Capitol Hill, and it looks like we'll see even more gridlock, more political warfare in Congress.
The House Oversight and Reform Committee is the main investigative panel in Congress and has the authority to investigate the federal government and its agencies. This committee is expected to be chaired by James Comer, who is the Republican representative from Kentucky. Comer has recently accused Hunter Biden, the president's son, of influence peddling and said that he is a national security threat. He, among other Republicans, also accused Biden and his family of crimes including tax evasion and money laundering.
I think what what happened with Hunter Biden is not probably that important. He is obviously was involved in this probably double accusations against him. None of them is particularly new. None of them is particularly kind of serious. Is that is he was sitting on some kind of board of a Ukrainian gas company and probably been paid money for the political influence which his father can exercise. So he was making extra money for not doing much and for selling political influence. It's not sort of pleasant, but it's not particularly big crime. And another one, he from what we do know, he's like some kind of a drug addict that was involved in some kind of disorderly behavior and hiring some kind of female consorts. Again, it's happened. It's not a big deal. But the much bigger deal was that how much the current president of the United States was involved in covering up. And, that's not right.
The Republicans of the House Judiciary Committee made claims early November that the FBI receives private user information from Facebook, but without the user's consent or the legal process, the FBI would otherwise need to independently pursue such user-related information. FBI Director Christopher Wray responded recently that he cannot be sure whether Facebook is sending the FBI such information without requests.
Director Wray, is Facebook or any other social media company supplying private messages or data on American users that is not compelled by the government or the FBI?
Not compelled. In other words, not in response to legal process.
No warrant, no subpoena. They're just supplying you information on their users.
I don't believe so, but I can't sit here and be sure of that as I sit here.
Now, in October 2020, the New York Post ran a story about emails from Hunter Biden's laptop that was related to his business dealings in Ukraine. Now, both Facebook and Twitter blocked user access to the story. Yul Roth, who was behind blocking users from viewing the story, was head of the Twitter Trust and Safety Division and recently resigned in protest to the new Twitter owner Elon Musk's Twitter subscription service implementation.
When the Post reported the controversy regarding Hunter Biden and calling its report the laptop from hell, almost all mainstream media publications refused to cover the story and called it a Russian disinformation campaign. The Post revealed 2 years ago that there are documents that could potentially tie Joe, Hunter, and other members of the Biden family to criminal activity. The report described how Hunter used his father's influence when he was vice president to help secure jobs and contracts with foreign state-backed companies.
Well, Hunter Biden could conceivably face criminal charges. He could be, he'll certainly will be embarrassed if he's forced to testify. He will be grilled at great length about his business activities, his personal life. I mean, bear in mind, I mean, Hunter Biden is a guy with a serious addiction problems to alcohol and cocaine. He has apparently spent large sums of money on prostitutes. So that will all come out. And, of course, his business activities where it appears that he tried to use his father's position to do business deals.
Meanwhile, in light of the investigations and reports of wrongdoings committed by the Biden family, administration, and the FBI and Department of Justice, Democrats call these investigations and probes politically motivated and aimed at discrediting and damaging Joe Biden before the 2024 presidential elections. The Democrats see this as nothing more than revenge by Republicans against their party and to try to impeach the president or the Homeland Security Secretary.
Well, of course, you know, one hopes they would find abuse because, you know, we sense it, we understand it. The story of Hunter Biden's laptop is absolutely clear that there was something there, and yet we hear a lot of people saying that FBI asked social platforms, media or something to silence this story rather than letting people investigate it. What they will find, we don't know. That's why people have to do investigation. But I suspect they will find the clear cases of meddling, when, as a result of which, stories which benefit Democratic Party are highlighted. Stories which, you know, kind of support a Democratic Party policies are highlighted. The stories which question it, be it the story of, you know, Ukraine and what's going on in Ukraine with the sort of, you know, the celebration of Nazi collaborators, certain policies which Ukraine does.
And it's not just the case of Hunter Biden or actions of the FBI, Homeland Security, and the DOJ that Republicans plan to investigate. Probes are supposed to also include immigration, the border wall, and the Remain in Mexico Act, the administration's handling of the military withdrawal from Afghanistan, and also the FBI search on Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence in Florida.
Well, there the investigations on Hunter Biden will be whether Hunter Biden tried to use his father's position to make money, whether Joe Biden was aware of that, and whether Joe Biden hoped to make money as well. So it involves allegations of political corruption.
The probes won't stop there. Dr. Anthony Fauci is another subject of investigations along with the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic. The House Education and Labor Committee also intend to probe how the Biden administration has treated parents and school boards. Republicans also stated that they will likely create a select committee on issues related to China, which is a priority for potential House Speaker McCarthy.
Now, while campaigning for the GOP Senate candidate in Ohio before the midterm elections, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina said if Jordan becomes chair of the House Judiciary Committee, there are going to be people jumping off bridges in San Francisco by the thousands. Now, joking on how investigations promised by Jim Jordan will be disturbing for many politicians.
You have to bear in mind there has been intense warfare on Capitol Hill since the 1990s, but it got much hotter during the Trump administration, where essentially Trump was subject to an extensive investigation by the FBI, CIA, and then by the special prosecutor, which essentially brought his administration to a halt. It crippled the Trump White House. So now what we're seeing as the Republicans want to do the same to the Biden administration. They want to cripple the Biden administration. They want to bring the administration to a halt, and they want to take vengeance for the punishment that Donald Trump received. It's going to be very hot, very angry. The American system is exploding, and the political combat on Capitol Hill will certainly intensify.
Donald Trump was impeached twice during his one term in office. His first impeachment was based on allegations that he had abused his power and withheld military aid from Ukraine unless Ukrainian President Zelensky would announce an investigation into Joe Biden. The House was majority Democrat at the time, and the vote was completely partisan. Now that the Republicans have taken over the House, it seems they are taking revenge. And interestingly, some of the accusations against Biden also goes back to Ukraine.
For some reason, connected with Trump, it became clear. We've heard some cases which were investigated, some you know, FBI person, and then people from the Biden government, they were in cahoots and they were investigating things on Trump, and they were saying, this is our security policy. That's how we want to make sure that Trump wouldn't get anywhere because we have some dirt on him. So that type of investigations they were doing. And I think, you know, it's about time that, you know, we all know that FBI is not just, you know, hands-off, honest investigation, but they frequently carry out the job of the political party. And for some reason, we hear reports again and again and again, including in this so-called 1,050 pages report, is that they are biased.
The impeachments of Donald Trump were both turned down after going to the Senate. The Republicans had Senate majority when Trump was impeached and voted for his acquittal. The Republicans have a slim majority now in the House, but were not able to get majority in the Senate. So although the probes and possible impeachments will probably hurt Joe Biden politically, it is very unlikely to be approved in the Senate.
It's going to be investigating whether the FBI tried to suppress this story, whether it acted improperly in doing so. Whether the FBI has been politicized, so it was clearly siding with the Democrats against the Republicans, and that's a very serious offense when a top police agency is politicized and is trying to aid one political party against the other.
Now it seems the most important change that has occurred with the Republicans taking over the House is that weapons which were once aimed at Trump and his administration will now be turned and aimed towards Biden and his administration. Now, the Republican motivation for probes is not justice, but revenge. And just like Democrats who investigated and tried to impeach Donald Trump when he was president, Republicans are now investigating and they're going to try to impeach Joe Biden. So what is almost always ignored by the American political parties is the fate and interest of the American people. And now let's check out what Abbas Montakim has prepared for us this week.
America itself is rotten at its core. It's a settler colony of European colonizers who enslaved Africans and indigenous people and committed genocide against both groups. The foundation of America is bloodshed, and the U.S. has done everything and anything to keep its power. Whether it's using intelligence agencies to stop revolutionary movements domestically, or its imperialist military to wage wars on other nations of the world and to loot them for their natural resources and their labor. On this segment of Power to the People, we will take a look at how the Federal Bureau of Investigation, also known as the FBI, and how it used clandestine operations to stop revolutionary movements that seek to end the vicious nature of American settler colonialism and imperialism. We will also take a look at the reign of terror that its first director, J. Edgar Hoover, waged against the black community. But first, let's start with a bit of the history of the creation of the FBI. The origins of it started in 1908, and it was created by President Roosevelt. At first, the FBI started under the Attorney General of the time, which was Attorney General Bonaparte. He hired investigators to report to the DOJ, and specifically, these investigators reported to Chief Examiner Stanley W. Finch. 1 year later, it was renamed the Bureau of Investigation, and in 1935, it was officially known as the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and J. Edgar Hoover was the first director. Under J. Edgar Hoover, the FBI spied on and destroyed black revolutionary movements and other leftist movements, and J. Edgar's terrorism expands across decades. For example, the FBI is set up and led efforts to destroy Marcus Garvey as well as his organization, the UNIA. The FBI, they worked with the IRS and ultimately deported Marcus Garvey to Jamaica. And Marcus Garvey, he was never able to come back to America to organize. The FBI, they also orchestrated the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. with the assistance of other three-letter intelligence agencies, as well as the U.S. military. And ultimately, the government was found guilty for MLK's assassination in a civil court. The FBI, they also orchestrated the assassination of Shahid El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz, also known as Malcolm X. The FBI also assassinated Black Panthers and Black Liberation Army members, and we could go on and on and on, but these are just a few examples of the FBI's crimes against humanity in different epochs of the Black Liberation Movement. And all of it was happening under J. Edgar Hoover's reign. And much of this, it came under the FBI's notorious and illegal counterintelligence program, also known as COINTELPRO. COINTELPRO used disinformation campaigns, assassinations, false allegations, political imprisonment, and a whole bunch of other tactics, all to destroy the Black Power movement, as well as a wide range of communist and other leftist movements. And though COINTELPRO had quote-unquote ended, the surveillance apparatus of the FBI has only continued to get stronger. During the Black Lives Matter movement, the FBI, they used a term called Black Identity Extremists to describe Black organizers fighting against white supremacy. And the FBI, they admitted to using COINTELPRO-like tactics under the guise of counterterrorism. It's very clear that the FBI is a weapon that is being used against colonized people in America to prevent revolutionary change from happening. The foundation of America itself is rotten. It's rotten at its core. So it makes sense that its government institutions like the FBI are too. This is Power to the People.
Well, that was our show, everyone. I'm your host, Daniel Arya. Do join us again next time for another episode of We the People. Bye-bye for now.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Thank you. path towards enlightenment.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam and welcome to another weekly episode of our series titled Path Towards Enlightenment, which is an endeavor to make you and us familiar with an easy and fluent explanation of God's final scripture to all mankind, the Noble Quran, that was revealed to the last and greatest of all messengers, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Last week, we completed explanation of Surah Mumtahine, and from this Friday onwards, we embark on explanation of the next Surah, that is Surah Saf, which is number 61 in the serial order of compilation of the Noble Quran. It has 14 ayahs and was revealed in Medina. It declares God's love of all those believers who maintain the solid ranks or unity in selflessly and fearlessly defending Islam against aggression. Its name is derived from Ayah 4, in which the word Saf or ranks occurs. The surah encourages the believers to stick together in support of God's cause, and criticizes those who broke the word and those who argued against the faith. Moses and Jesus are cited as examples of prophets whose communities became fragmented. The rebellious were left to stray, and the faithful granted success. The rewards of those who strive in God's cause are described in some detail in Ayah 11. It is narrated from the Prophet's fifth infallible heir, Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace upon him, that whoever recites Surah Saf in his obligatory and supererogatory prayers, God Almighty will place him in the ranks of the angels and prophets. However, such ranks will be for those who act upon Quranic injunctions. We now invite you to listen to ayahs 1, 2, and 3 of the surah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Sabbaha lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. Wa huwa al-azizul hakim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لم تقولون ما لا تفعلون كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون.
Whatever there is in the heavens and the earth glorifies Allah, and He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. All you who have faith, why do you say what you do not? It is greatly outrageous to Allah that you should say what you do not. This surah, like a few other ones, begins with glorification of Allah and stresses the fact that the entire creation enjoys perception and glorifies the Almighty Creator, who is omnipotent and all-wise. Although these ayahs were revealed concerning armed jihad and desertion from the Battle of Uhud by Muslims of weak faith, the divine words never restrict the broad contextual message of the Noble Quran, which is for all times. Consequently, any vain word deserves censure and rebuke, be it in terms of steadfastness in battlefield or any other positive and constructive act. The true faith is action. Some people utter empty words in friendly get-togethers, but they fail to act upon their words when it is necessary to take action. One of the significant tokens of true believers is that their words and deeds are totally in harmony And the more one distances from such principles, the more such a person distances from faith. These ayahs teach us that. Number one, according to the Islamic worldview, the entire universe has a certain kind of perception and everything glorifies the Almighty Creator. Number two, mere claim of faith is not enough and deeds are required to prove conviction. And number three, Allah is aware of all those who think they can deceive Him. Now let us listen to Ayah 4 of the same surah in conclusion of this week's episode.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ صَفًّا كَأَنَّهُمْ بُنْيَانٌ مَرْصُوصٌ.
Indeed, Allah loves those who fight in His way in ranks, as if they were a compact structure. The previous ayahs refer to those whose words do not comply with their deeds, while this ayah says that those who keep their words, even in the case of armed jihad, in defense of Islam, and humanitarian values, are endeared by God. The purpose of armed jihad in Islam is not seizure of lands or the resources and wealth of others. It is preserve faith, virtue, and prevention of vice and domination by the enemies. Obviously, differences among Muslims and discord in the ranks embolden the enemies to launch aggression. Therefore, this ayah emphasizes on unity among the faithful by saying that the Almighty loves those who risk their life in His cause like a structure of iron and an edifice of steel. From this ayah we learn that, number one, those who strive sincerely in the cause of Islam and humanitarian values, even in the case of armed struggle or jihad, earn God's endearment. And number two, all ethnic, class, lingual, and sectarian differences should be put aside while confronting the enemy.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood ghudde saratani Israel mukhalifin.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel.
وجه مشترك همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Current world order will be replaced by a new order where US is isolated, Asia powerful, resistance front expanded. This is the part of a speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution during a meeting with students on Wednesday, November 2nd, 2022. This meeting was held on the occasion of National Students' Day and National Day of Fighting Against Global Arrogance, which are commemorated on the 13th of Aban, 4th of November. The thing that is actually more important than all of the aforementioned advantages is the logic of our government and civilization, which is the Islamic Republic. We have combined a republic with something that is Islamic. We have combined the people's presence and their votes and opinions with a divine knowledge. Combining these two things is not an easy task, but we have been able to do it with God's grace. It is not flawless. I have never claimed that we don't have flaws in these areas. No, we do have flaws, but our words, our logic, it is a new type of logic in the world. So that was about those issues. My last word to you, my dear young people. You see that whatever you do, whatever we do, whatever we all do, our words and our actions, they all send signals to those outside the country. We need to be careful with the messages we are sending. These messages are not necessarily in words. Sometimes the way you even sit can send a message.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Sometimes your gatherings in a certain place can convey a message. Sometimes the things you chant can send a message. Be mindful of the message that you are sending out to the world. I believe that the most important thing that must be relayed to the enemy front by the Iranian nation and the Iranian youth is the Iranian nation's power and power of resistance. The Iranian nation, the youth of Iran, must use their actions, movements, slogans, and their work to let the world know, which of course the enemy will also understand, that the Iranian nation has the power to resist. It is determined to stand up to coercion. Indeed, this is the duty of the people. The officials have great responsibilities.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio. With you every single moment.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Eruba Shavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
It's just another attempt to mute the voice of the voiceless. Pros TV managers were not surprised by Eurosat's decision to stop broadcasting the news outlet, as they say this is not the first time Pros TV is being banned in the West.
Well, this gesture by the West is not anything new in terms of Press TV and even some of its, sister channels. So it puts under the microscope the real intention behind this. So the way this appears to be is that it's part of a bigger picture of this maximum pressure campaign that's been exerted on Iran. I am sure there's some geopolitical interest involved in terms of trying to limit Iran's reach when it comes to the media. But in particular, obviously, another reason for this act by the West, which is really against the pillars that they actually advocate, which is freedom of speech.
Eutelsat is a French satellite operator providing coverage over the entire European continent, the Middle East, Africa, Asia, and the Americas. It is the world's third largest satellite operator in terms of revenues. In mid-November, the European Union imposed sanctions on Press TV over claims that the news network airs forced confessions of detainees in connection with the recent unrest in Iran.
I've been working here at Press TV for almost a decade now, and I can tell you that Press TV has not aired any confessions whatsoever, forced or unforced. So that shows you how such decisions by the EU and the like are based on unfounded claims with no basis in reality. And these sanctions on Press TV I see as part of the media war and their narrative control. They want to present the war with their distorted version of what's going on in Iran these days, and seemingly they don't feel much comfortable with Press TV challenging their narrative. So they would try everything to silence us or make us less heard, but we're not going to be silenced.
In 2013, Press TV was brought off the air in the UK after media regulator Ofcom revoked its license over alleged breaching of its rules. In the same year, it was taken off the air in North America after the U.S. Treasury Department placed sanctions against the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. Press TV was also dropped from the Galaxy 19 satellite platform that allowed it to be broadcast in the United States and Canada. Press TV has also repeatedly fallen victim to censorship on multiple social media platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube.
It's not the first time, and perhaps not the last time, that the West has attempted to pull the plug on Press TV. However, the news network says it will continue its professional journalism based on its motto of being a voice for the voiceless. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
A month after going to the polls, the results of the United States midterms are finally known. The Democratic Party has narrowly won a runoff vote in the state of Georgia, meaning they will retain control of the upper house of Congress, but with a mere 51-49 edge over Republicans.
They've come up with things that are going to help a larger block of people. Conversely, the Republicans are just pushing back and creating exclusionary, not even policy, but just exclusionary commentary. So Republicans are going to make all these crazy claims. And I'm not being partisan, I'm just saying that's what they said they're going to do.
However, over the past 2 years, a small faction of right-leaning Democrats was enough to consistently torpedo the legislation of President Joe Biden. Celebrations are further tempered by the fact that Republicans won control of the lower House of Representatives, meaning Congress is now divided.
A divided Congress means that the United States is facing 2 years of political gridlock, with each party voting down the other's legislation, and then capped by an extremely tense presidential election in 2024.
Just like in the years 2000, 2004, 2016, and 2020, there have been widespread complaints about the integrity of the nation's elections. Much of the Democrats' loss can be traced to disillusionment and disinterest from African American and youth voters, whose turnout dropped to an estimated 35% and 27%, respectively.
I would say I'm not hearing too much about it. I'm 19, so I might be part of it. My friends probably aren't just talking about it very much. I think they're probably just too distracted, and they maybe think it doesn't affect them enough for it to matter to them. However, it certainly should, because it can affect them maybe later in life.
Many are now lamenting that the Democrats didn't do enough to win over the average voter during the 2 years they controlled both the White House and Congress, as they remained focused on the era of ex-President Donald Trump instead. Now that they have the subpoena power, Republicans are looking for payback, meaning an even worse era of partisanship will likely be inaugurated on January 3rd. Ramin Mazahiri, Chicago.